So 2 weeks ago, we started a new series on Abraham, Hebrews 11. I'm talking about Abraham tonight a little bit, so that's why I got confused there. We talked about, Matt opened up the series about this wonderful chapter in the book of Hebrews, talking about the heroes of faith. And it's a wonderful chapter that goes through many different stories in the Old Testament, very briefly, but then also picks up on their stories of faith, their stories of wonder. And we continue that tonight. So let us just open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can learn from you. Learn about the Bible and learn about how you talk to people and work through people. Well, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Let us hearts be open as we continue to learn more about you and about each other through things like this. I just pray these things in your name. Amen. So I want to start off by asking the question and saying, have you ever been given a set of instructions that seemed totally absurd at the time? Like you were given a set of instructions where maybe to go somewhere, you've looked at the GPS and it's saying you go left or right, or someone's given you, like IKEA, the wonderful catalogues there that you just think, wow, how am I supposed to do that? There was a situation about a long time ago when I was just, Linda and I weren't going out, but we knew each other. And there was a bunch of us who went skiing. And Linda's family's house is about an hour away from the slope. So after the group of us who went skiing, we thought, oh, we'll stay at Linda's house for a few days. And so there was two guys and two girls. The two guys were in the front seats and the girls were in the back seats. And so we're driving away. Now, I had never been to Linda's parents' house before, but the girls had because they had been closer friends with Linda. And it is in the country. It's in a little place called Chesunt near Wangaratta. Beautiful place of the world. Go up there whenever you need to. But at night time, it can be a bit awkward to get to. And so one of our friends said, I've been there before. There's a nice little shortcut that'll take about half an hour off the time. And we thought, yeah, okay, you've been a few times before. Let's go. So we pulled off the main road onto this road and everything was going fine. And it was a dark night, as I said. We were pretty tired. We had been skiing a few days and driving along. And all of a sudden, the road starts to get narrower and narrower. And so we had to question this girl and said, are you sure we're going the right way? Are you sure this is the way to Linda's house? And she said, yes, it's fine. It's the right way. I've been there before. And she said, it was during the day, but I'm sure it's the right road. And so we're driving along and the road starts to narrow. And it's amazing how, it's like a thing out of a horror movie. Like, you know, the lights are getting darker and there's two guys in the front seat, two girls in the front seat. Animals are jumping, like owls and wombats and kangaroos you can see on the side of the road. And it's amazing how when it's dark and there's only a few of you there, how little things and little noises you can hear louder. And so obviously we're hearing owls and, oh, what's that sort of thing there? And kangaroos and looking like that. And all of a sudden the road starts to narrow and it turns from bitumen to unsealed road. And so again, we questioned this girl. We said, hang about, are you sure it's on this way? And she goes, yeah, I'm sure it is. You're like, I remember this, it's over a few hills and then we'll get there. And so we're driving along and as I said, more noises are coming and we're getting a little bit more, not scared, well, the guys weren't getting scared. no, we were. And then out of nowhere, a deer came right in front of us. Now, like a big deer, I'm talking about 6 foot, 8, 10 foot. It wasn't that, but it was 6 foot. Right now, I understand where like a deer and a headlights come from now because it was right in the middle of the road and it was looking at us and we were looking at them and we didn't want to move. And as soon as we saw that, we thought, nah, we better go back. We turned around, we went the wrong way. Now, as I said, this girl was adamant that this was the right way. So we'd gone 30 minutes into our journey, so we said, no, the instruction you gave us, yeah, we trust you, but now we're going to go the right way. So we went back, went to the main road. An hour later, we got to Linda's house. Now, we told her what had happened, and the whole family had a moment of laughter. The reason why, because we were only about 5 or 10 minutes away from her house at that point. And so if we had been, we had honked a few times, got the deer out of the way, we would have been able to get there. But unfortunately, we didn't. We didn't trust what was said behind us, and we just turned around and went back. And now we would have been there in 10 minutes, an hour and a half later, we got there, and yes, that happened there. So I'm sure there's been all times in our lives when we have had a set of instructions and we haven't followed them, or maybe we didn't trust the person that gave it to us. And so tonight we're going to be looking at how God has given people a set of instructions, which seemed absurd and seemed a bit strange, but these guys followed through with it. Regardless of the cost, regardless of what happened, these guys were able to follow through with it. And so with the passage that we're reading from tonight, how do the fathers love? No, it's from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 7 to 12. And I'll get them up in there. It talks about a few different characters in there. So let us read. I'll read it and you can read it from there. Hebrews 11, chapter 7 to 12. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive in his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him in the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful. He made the promise. And so this one man, and his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand in the seashore. There's three main characters that we talked about there. We're talking about Noah, Abraham, and Sarah. Three totally different characters within the context of the Bible and what they had and what they hadn't done. And so we want to look at through the faith of these three characters and why the writer of Hebrews picked up on these three. And so first, I want to look at Noah. And we've all heard the basics around Noah. And when I was talking to Noah and I was telling my family, I was preaching about this sort of thing and Noah came up, and my daughter loved to tell a few jokes, and she's at that age where she has a few jokes. So she and we've all heard the jokes about Noah, like what kind of lights didn't Noah have on the ark? Floodlights. Why weren't there any worms on the ark? Because worms don't come in, they come in apples, not in pears. And my favorite, this is what my daughter told me. She said, what did Noah have to learn before that he began building? Architecture. So anyway, we all know, it's one of those stories where we've grown up hearing about Noah. And you know, we've got toys at home with the kids and they like to play with them and all that sort of stuff. So we know the basics about Noah. But I want to touch on a few things here. The story of Noah can be found in through Genesis 5, 32 and 10 to 1. Now, we're not going to read the whole thing, and we know some of the things there and some of the points in there. But I do want to pick up on some of these points. So Noah served for 500 years before God spoke to him about the ark or about the flood. Now, for those of you who, there's been a long time debate whether it's actually happened or it's a story, or do you live for that amount of time? There are actually other writings of that sort of time, like Sumerian kings and the Sumerian religions who talk about people living for that time. So if you want to go away and do the research or have a look at it, do it, because there are other traditions and other texts that talk about people living for that period of time. And then post-flood, people lived less and less, and we'll talk about that in the coming weeks, but that's what it was. But we don't have to delve too much into that now. But it is, have a look into it. And so Noah believed in his ordinary life. He had an ordinary life before this time. He was a just man and perfect in generations. And the Bible says elsewhere that the just shall live by faith. So Noah served God for 500 years during this time. He lives with God. God had said, yep, here I am. And God was, and Noah was serving him. And then God spoke to him. Now, if you go through it, God is very specific about what he says. He says, build an ark this size. And this is what I want. Now, have a think about it. Now, about that time, Noah was living in a valley. Noah was living in a place where there wasn't great lakes. There wasn't great oceans. He was living in the middle there. He didn't have the internet so he could look up what was a flood or what was an ark or what was like that. This is a totally new concept to him. So God said, you have to build an ark. And this is why and how you're going to build it. And that's probably why the details are so thorough about cubits long and all that sort of stuff there, because he wouldn't have had any other concept of what it was like. But Noah knew that the floods would fill the valley and rise up the hills. And Noah knew God was a man of his God word. And so that's why he followed through to the letter of the law. He said, this is what I'm going to build. This is how I'm going to do it. Trust me, this is going to happen. And so that's why Noah built the ark like he did. And so Noah obeyed the Lord exactly. Noah did according to what the Lord had commanded him. Noah watched the details, and when God said to him, make an ark, he proceeded carefully. He used the right materials. He followed the letter of the instructions there. Two other little ports. He would have built at all costs, both financially and to his reputation. Firstly, financially. He would have to, whatever work he was doing at the time, whatever resources he had at the time, he put it all to the ark. His family did it all to the ark. And so it would have cost him a great deal. And secondly, his reputation. As I said, imagine that I said, I'm going to build an ark. You don't know what a boat is. You don't know what an ark is. But I'm going to build this sort of thing. To me, to you, I would look pretty silly. And as soon as I start building it, again, I would look pretty silly. And so all the people, the religious leaders at the time, whatever religion they were following at that time, would have mocked him. I said, what on earth are you doing, man? What on earth are you building? We haven't seen water like that. Yeah, we get rain, but it's not going to rain that much. There might be a few puddles. That ark is not going to live in that puddle. But Noah trusted God. When he didn't know what was going to happen, when he didn't know how it was like. The funny thing is, it happened when he was 620. So 120 years for him to build it, or whatever it takes, whatever next to the flood came, was that time when he was suffering financially, suffering from his reputation. But through that time, he had a confidence that this is God's plan. And so sometimes when we go through a period in our lives, when we don't know exactly what's happening, it could be a week or a month or whatever, we leave it on our own laurels and think, oh, what am I going to do now? God, are you still there? Are you still with me? Can I trust you? But here's an example of Noah trusting God for 120 years. In the face of all these criticisms and everything else that's going on, he trusts God. So Noah went on obeying God. So Noah's name, actually, aside from Noah's name means rest. But Jesus is the one who came to give us true rest. And whilst Noah was able to build the boat to save his family from death and destruction, Jesus is the one that through his life and death saves us from eternal life and destruction. So following Jesus and trusting Jesus saves us. Just like following God when Noah did that saved him. It's great how Old Testament stories link in to New Testament teaching. So let's move on to Abraham. We find Abraham's call in Genesis chapter 11, or chapter 12, sorry, 1 to 4. And you can read that, but I mean, see, just before, and Abraham, at that point in time he was called, God changed his name afterward, had been living for about 75 years. And God calls him to do something miraculous. He says, go from your country, your people and your father's household to a land I will show you. He doesn't say, I'm going to take you to Turnside Park. He doesn't say, I'm going to take you to Melton. He doesn't say, I'm going to take you to Sydney. He's going to take you to a land that you don't know about yet. So God, again, tells him, hey, you don't know what's going to be ahead of you. You don't really know the step that it is, but you have to trust me. And so that's a pretty good call, isn't it? Pretty big call for someone to leave their friends, their work, their other family that they might have had to say, no, I'm trusting God here. I'm going to leave you all behind. And again, it's in those day and age where they don't have telephones, they don't have Skype, they don't have any means of doing that sort of stuff. So they're leaving what they have and say, I'm going to follow you, God, because you called me that way. And I'm not going to look back. I'm just going to see what there is. You called me and I'm going to trust you. See, Abraham left it all behind. Come follow me and I will bless you. I will bless those who curse you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So that line alone says that he would have been cursed for it. He would have been given a hard time for following God. Sometimes that's happened to us, whether it's from other people or even ourselves or the circumstances around us. We feel like it's not going our way. But here Jesus is saying, and God's saying, stick in there. Stick in there. You will be blessed. See, I know for myself, if God just did that to me, I would struggle. I would have to ask God a few times, like, hey, is this what you're really saying? I'd ask Linda, I'd ask the kids, I'd ask anyone who'd listen to me and say, hey, is this really what's happening? Is this what God's asking me to do? And even then, when I had that confirmation, God, I would still struggle a little bit. But how did God respond? How did Abraham respond to God's call? So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed him. And it says there, he was 75 when he set out. He chose to obey, to do what God had called him to do. Faith, his faith, led Abraham to obey God when he called him to a place that he would receive as an inheritance. So he left his own country and went there. And the thing is, when he made his way to the promised land, God said, hey, that's the land you're going to occupy, but it was occupied at the moment. And so he had to set up tents. It was like State Youth Games all over again for him. Him and Jake, they set up tents. I said, okay, wait here until we give it to you. So through many times, not knowing what was going to happen next, and even getting to that point and still not knowing what's going to happen next, Abraham trusted God. See, he left his father to go into a strange land. And again, the parallels between the New Testament. See, Jesus left his father's side to come to us. And so we can trust him. The same promises that he gives Abraham, Jesus gives to us. And then God promised that Abraham, that he would become a father of many nations. See, however that time, Abraham didn't have any kids. Now, again, he was 75 at that time when he moved out, and so this is a little bit longer. So now he and his wife, Sarah, had tried for many years to have a kid or have more than one kid in that sort of time, but nothing happened. And so God said, you're going to be a father of many nations. And here is Abraham saying, hey, I would love that to happen, but it's not happening yet. And we're trying, we're doing a lot of stuff there, but nothing's happening. And so God made the promise. And it lasted for almost 25 years till God after them. So you talk about a long delay again. Of that time when God's given them a promise and said, hey, you know, this is going to happen to you. Trust me, it's going to happen to you. So there was a time when Abraham was like all of us and Sarah was like all of us as well. The fact where they doubted God and Abraham said, well, this isn't happening now. Sarah, you know, we're supposed to be the father of many nations, and I'm supposed to be the father of many nations, but we haven't had anything yet. There's a servant girl over here. I think I'm supposed to have a baby with this person here. And so Sarah said, yep, that's okay. So I had one. But then God said, no, that's not the right one. You are going to be the father of many nations. You and Sarah are going to be the father and mother of many nations there. There was a time when they doubted. And again, that shows me real stories in the Bible with real emotions that we go through every day. That sometimes when God is in front of us, that we don't trust him. We think that's just too absurd. That's just too hard to believe. And see, when Abraham was almost 100 years old, they had a child, Isaac, that by faith, Sarah was able to conceive because she trusted in God. And even it says it here, it says, why did Sarah laugh? Why will I have a child now that I am? But is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at a certain time next year, and Sarah will have a son. See, God made a promise. He's going to be with them. He's going to make him have a baby. And we trust in that promise that he gives them, and the trust in the promise he gives us that he's going to be with us. And we have to walk with that promise. See, Noah and Abraham and Sarah were by far from perfect Christians. They were everyday people back then, like we are now. But the one thing that these three had in common, they had a tremendous faith in God. And a God that could not be seen, and the instructions, the plans that could not be seen as well. Do you think you'd have the same faith? I know that I would struggle if those things happened. But that's what these stories are here for, to give us faith and to give us that strength to do that. So when we hit hurdles like that, we can say, oh, but it happened to this guy. What happened to this girl? And look what they were going through, but they still had the faith. But we have to be able to trust God's word with that. Sometimes it's hard to focus on God and his promise that he'll be with us, or the promise that he will give us direction in life. Or the promise, I will unveil my plans to you, but you just have to wait now. Sometimes it's hard to do that. And we look at the world around us, and we think, yeah, they've got their life worked out. Why can't I be like that? Or, you know, they're on such a way forward. Where's mine? And God says, yes, all in good time. And again, he uses these stories, and the author of Hebrews uses these stories for that purpose as well. See, in such times of uncertainty, both personally and globally, we should be able to trust that God will be able to work through the situation. See, if God has called us, he will be with us. God is not after people who need to be perfect. He is after people who are faithful. I want to finish off in a story. And it's a story that, you know, comes on top of my head when I go through these times. It says, one night a house caught on fire and a young boy was forced to flee to the roof. And the father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms calling his son, jump and I'll catch you. He knew the boy had to jump to save his life, but all the boy could see, however, was flame, smoke and darkness. As you can imagine, he was afraid to jump. The father kept on yelling, jump, I will catch you. But the boy protested. He said, but daddy, I can't see you. The father replied, but I can see you, and that's all that matters. God can see us. God can see our future. God can see us where we are at. God saw the future for Abraham. God saw the future for Sarah. God saw the future for Noah. And these three characters trusted God. And sometimes in our life, when it gets all too tough for us, we need to trust God too. We need to have that faith. I mean, these characters here, and these characters have shown us. Let us just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your examples in the Bible. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you sent your Son to die for us, that he can walk this journey with us as well. Lord, we all go through times in our lives when we struggle. We don't see what is in front of us. And we wonder if you are with us, or you wonder where your plan is for us. Lord, in those times, give us the faith. Give us the hope and the wisdom, your love that is guiding us. We just pray these things in your mighty and wonderful name. Amen. As the band comes up, as always, if there's anything that strikes you or you want to talk to someone in prayer, some people will be around afterwards to pray for you in those circumstances. But yeah, let us just have some time in worship.